Call Manx Memorials on 843 861.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Pastor Mai, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Thursday, 11th of June, 2020 from Manx Radio. A 30-minute look at the latest news on the island and sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person. Tonight, no new confirmed cases of C19 for the 22nd day, so 336 in total and no active cases. And from Monday, you're not legally required to socially distance. And from today, there are new rules on compassionate travel over Manx borders. A union wants guidance on the return to work in the hospitality sector. Free parking in Douglas has been suspended, or has it? And Sporting Club Isle of Man wants to break the glass ceiling.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines. Faster Mai, Ed Oldham.
Faster Mai, the legal requirement for the island's population to socially distance is to end on Monday. Chief Minister Howard Quayle confirmed the change at today's COVID-19 media conference. It's after the island recorded a 22nd consecutive day without a new case. A Douglas care home described as no longer fit for purpose is still safe to house residents while its replacement is built. That's according to Health Minister David Ashford, ahead of a Tynwald vote on funding for Summerhill View, which will take over from Rayetna Bay. A man's admitted a parcel containing £2,000 worth of drugs was his, as was another £15,000 worth discovered at his home. 38-year-old Scott Anthony Johnson of Douglas appeared before High Bailiff Jane Hughes at the town's courthouse. She refused a bail application and remanded him in custody to appear in court again on the 7th of July. Further afield, the head of the NHS Test and Trace scheme in England insists it's got off to a good start. Baroness Dido Harding's been speaking after figures revealed 27,000 people were contacted and asked to self-isolate in its first week, but a third of those testing positive weren't reachable. It's been a bad day for jobs, with a string of companies announcing plans to axe positions. The owner of British Gas will get rid of 5,000 workers, while coronavirus is behind cuts at Heathrow Airport, and manufacturers Johnson Matthey and Bombardier. And more people are having their holidays cancelled. TUI had been hoping to resume breaks on July the 1st, but it's now delayed that until the 10th. Those are the headlines, news in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goromaya, thank you. Ed, from the Ronalds Way Met Office, Irish Sea weather indicates strong winds out at sea in the North Irish Sea, a showery evening on the Isle of Man, and overnight down to 12 degrees. For Friday, Jahenya, early showers will clear up tomorrow morning. Then a sunny afternoon and a fresh northeasterly wind all day long, 19 degrees. Up to tomorrow, the overnight minimum 13, into Saturday, Jasan, clouds and showers first thing, then dry with sunny spells towards lunchtime and a moderate to fresh east-northeast wind all day. Top temperature 19 on Saturday, sunset 9 minutes to 10 tonight. Low waters at 29 minutes past 10, high water overnight 19 minutes to 5. Sunrise at 4:45 and low water 22 minutes past 11 tomorrow morning.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online, manxglass.com.
Manx people will no longer be legally required to socially distance from Monday. You heard what I said? Chief Minister Howard Quayle confirmed the change at today's COVID-19 media conference. No longer legally required to socially distance from Monday. It's after the islands recorded a 22nd consecutive day without a new case of coronavirus. Public Health says local elimination of the disease will be achieved next week if the island reaches 28 days with no new cases. Here's the Chief Minister.
We have decided that we are ready to remove any legal requirement for social distancing from the 15th of June. Now, we know this is a bold step. We believe it is the right one at the right time. Our principal objective from the start of this pandemic has to be to protect our most vulnerable people. This has not changed. We have therefore decided that while the removal of the legal obligation for social distancing would be removed across all aspects of our community, we would maintain it and the need for PPE in health and care environments, in care and residential homes, and other environments that protect our vulnerable. We will keep this under review. We know that this will make a real difference to all our lives. It will allow our society to come back together. It will allow our economy to thrive. It will also help our schools as they start to increase the numbers of children coming in each day. This will allow greater flexibility for head teachers to increase numbers, which I know will be most welcome by many parents. I know that this might get some getting used to. Social distancing has become such a part of our lives. And let me be clear, it may well come back to 1 metre as we had originally planned if our cases increase once again to a level of concern. I would ask everyone to continue to bear this in mind and be ready for it. For now, though, as we have increasingly said, it will now be up to you, more than ever, to make the right decisions. It will be for you to decide where you are comfortable being and who you are being comfortable with. And if you do want to keep people at arm's length for the time being, then that is for you to decide. You know your own personal situation better than the government does.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Changes to rules on compassionate travel over Manx borders have come into force today, the 11th of June. People looking to leave the Isle of Man for overriding personal, family or health requirements have had the restriction they would face on their return eased. Ewan Gawn with the details.
Whilst the borders have been closed, people have been able to leave the island, but as the Chief Minister has stressed, it's their return which has been regulated. Those leaving with permission from the Cabinet Office are allowed to come back as normal, but those without express permission have to apply to be repatriated back to the island. This week, Howard Quayle announced that criteria for those seeking to make genuine and urgent trips will be changed from today.
From the 11th of June, we will slightly change the categories to allow Manx residents to travel and return for overriding personal, family or health requirements. This could now, for example, include child visitation, support for an unwell parent, etc.
Anyone seeking to travel must comply, of course, with the relevant criteria and get Cabinet Office approval. This week, Mr. Quayle also said bids by non-Manx residents to travel to the island will be considered.
We will also consider applications from non-Manx residents to travel to the island in order to provide support for elderly, frail or otherwise vulnerable residents. This would also cover anyone who needs to travel to the island to deal with the estates of deceased Manx family members.
Also from today, a small number of people going through the government repatriation process will be allowed to return to the island via the airport. All those arriving must still self-isolate for 2 weeks at home or at an approved location. Residents returning can quarantine at home with others as long as the entire household agrees to stay indoors for the mandatory 14-day period.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
21 minutes before 6, the next departure is Friday morning's 10 o'clock, sailing to Heysham by Mananan. Steam Packet's fast craft continues to operate daytime sailings to Heysham. The motor ship Ben McCree is providing the overnight freight service.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
There's uncertainty among some members of the hospitality sector on the risks of returning to work. It's after the Chief Minister announced the reopening of indoor food services from Monday, next Monday, 15th of June, and full pub reopenings from the 29th, 2 weeks later. The trade union Prospect represents about 2,600 professionals across the Isle of Man. The negotiations officer Mick Hewer spoke to Manx Radio's Alex Watton about what he's hearing from his members.
What we're after is some more specific guidance. So it's okay saying that premises can reopen from various dates, but there doesn't seem to be any specific written guidance about how those measures should be risk assessed, plans drawn up, implemented, and then evaluated. It just seems to me, and to my members that are ringing me, that it's open your doors, return to normal, and get on with it. And obviously, some of the venues that our members are working in are smaller than others. They're not sure about what measures have been put into place regarding hand sanitising, regular cleaning of your toilets, regular cleaning of the premises. There's nothing specific, or there doesn't appear to be. It's a case of you can open from the 15th or 29th or 22nd with no follow-up.
We have heard from the Chief Minister messages like, we are putting the trust back to you to now act responsibly. Is that not where it should lie? This is down to individual, what they feel comfortable with when it comes to reopening certain services.
It is, to a large extent, and I would agree with that. But at the same time, if we follow that analogy to its conclusion, we wouldn't need to have health and safety regulations, we wouldn't need to have health and safety inspectors, we wouldn't need to have public health issuing guidelines, because everybody would use the common sense. And that's not always the case. I think that some people do need more specific guidance. And I'm trying to preempt that rather than wait until premises open more widely and then we potentially have issues to resolve. I would rather ask for better guidance now about what people should and shouldn't be doing when they reopen, so they've got time to prepare for that.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing, brought to you by KPMG.
Inditex, the company which owns Zara, the world's largest fashion group, has reported its first ever quarterly loss after the pandemic forced it to shut 9 out of 10 shops worldwide. The losses, despite a surge in online sales, which jumped 95% in April. While the Spanish retailer expects to reopen shops in all of its key markets by the end of this month, it also said it plans to close over 1,000 stores this year and next as it looks to integrate online and bricks-and-mortar businesses. Big names on the UK high street have announced closures, resulting in thousands of job losses. The restaurant group is closing 125 Frankie and Benny's restaurants and cutting up to 3,000 jobs as part of insolvency proceedings. While Monsoon and Debenhams have both announced store closures. At Monsoon Accessorize, over 500 jobs are at risk as 37 stores are set to close. Three more Debenhams stores are going too, a total of 20 closures since April, with 300 jobs likely to go. Restaurants and shops have been shut since March due to the lockdown, adding pressure to a sector already having to adapt to changing consumer behaviour.
KPMG, here for your business through these unprecedented times. Contact IOM at kpmg.co.im. The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks tumbled as investors digested the latest comments from the US Federal Reserve and fears of a second wave of coronavirus. The pound fell as Brexit-related concerns and speculations about negative rates weighed on sterling. Oil prices fell, hit by another record build-up in US crude inventories and the US Fed's projections that the world's biggest economy would shrink 6.5% this year. Gold rose, supported by the US Fed's grim economic outlook and commitment to injecting support. In corporate news, Vodafone was in the red as its stock went ex-dividend on the upside. Precious metals miners Polymetal and Fresnillo rallied as gold prices upped. And the numbers at the close in London. The FTSE 100 was down 4% at 6,076. The DAX in Frankfurt down 4.5% at 11,970. Just after 5 o'clock in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 4% at 25,857. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index down 2.5% at 9,752. And in Chicago, the S&P 500 down 3.5% at 3,077. On the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is worth $1, 26.3 cents, and €1, 11 cents. In commodities, gold up 0.1% at $1,736. An ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil down 6.25% at $38.77.
With uncertainty impacting global stock markets, you might think it's not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer great opportunities to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment with Ramsey Crookall, your investment specialists. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
Good evening. It's a 5:45. You're with the national broadcaster from the Isle of Man. This is Manx Radio. Negotiations with Manx Gas over a new regulatory agreement will be the subject of a debate in Tynwald next week. There's uncertainty over the outcome after the politician leading the talks, Chris Thomas, MHK, was dismissed from the Council of Ministers. It leaves protesters who want lower gas prices and independent regulation of the island's energy sector unsure about what comes next. The man behind the campaign for a better deal with Manx Gas is Barry Murphy, and he spoke to Ewan Gawn.
What we're looking for right now is new legislation to be imposed on Manx Gas. As a group, we've decided that we can no longer run with voluntary regulation. We think at this stage, after 4 years of fighting and feeling, if you like, the letdown party in the arguments, we just feel that we need to have new legislation in place, and we need to have a new external regulator also in place. And we're also looking to get this rocky profit margin reduced substantially, but only if the government can somehow reduce the overall fixed costs that Manx Gas have to pay on a monthly annual basis, because the rocky profit margin in itself being reduced will be no benefit to gas customers moving forward unless the fixed costs of Manx Gas moving forward are also reduced.
Didn't you get a concession with the dropping of the standard banded charges, which was so controversial?
We did. We did get that. But we also were lobbying at the start for other issues as well, for other things, which we haven't had. But we did get that, and it was a start. But what we also managed to obtain was this NERA report, which was published back, from memory, in around about 2018. And clearly, that report said that changes had to be planned and changes had to be made in order for a good deal for gas consumers. And we haven't had really any of that. And that's the problem.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fast am I, Ed Oldham.
Fast am I. Rugby in the Isle of Man is preparing to move to Phase B of the Return to Rugby roadmap. That's due to happen on Monday next week, and we'll see a number of changes to what's been in place during the first phase. 30 players will now be allowed at a single session, up from the 10 permitted so far, and equipment such as balls can now be shared, although they must be disinfected before and after every session. Clubhouses can now open to serve takeaway food and drink, having only been allowed to open for access to toilets so far. Further afield, scrums could be taken out of the game when rugby league returns in the UK. Medical experts have advised the RFL scrap them, which would help reduce the potential spread of COVID-19 by limiting the amount of contact during a match. Clubs in the Super League, Championship and League One have been asked for their feedback ahead of a board meeting next month. Rugby Union Premiership side Sale have announced they plan to build a new stadium. They're eyeing up a site at the Crossford Bridge Community Sports Village in the town. The club are proposing to start a consultation with fans later this month. And in football, Tottenham's Dele Alli has been banned for one match by the FA over a social media post about coronavirus. The England international put up a video in February in which he joked about the outbreak and appeared to mock an Asian man. He's also been fined £50,000 and will need to take an educational course.
It's 12 minutes to six. Free parking in Douglas has been suspended this week after the council said it was financially unsustainable to carry on post-lockdown. There was some confusion yesterday, however, after 100 businesses supported a letter to the authority keeping parking free in the capital. So what's happening? Well, the man with the answers, our local Democracy reporter Aaron Ibanez.
Andy Corrie, who represents the island's retail sector at the Chamber of Commerce, asked the council to reconsider the decision to reintroduce parking fees because it's an added discouragement to shoppers. He said Douglas is struggling, describing the town as a building site. Mr. Corrie says he knows free parking isn't a miracle cure, but he argues that it will help as part of this recovery process following lockdown. Given his role, he said he felt duty-bound to get a conversation started following a big outcry from retailers of this additional pain.
And what was the council's response?
So parking charges have come into force after almost 3 months of free parking over the course of the pandemic. But during lockdown, we've seen the suspension of car parking on the promenade walkway and, of course, the handover of the Lord Street site to developers. So for Douglas Council, who acknowledged that more people are now returning to work, there is limited spaces available for shoppers to use. And its car parks at Shaw's Brow, the Bottleneck, Drumgold Street and Chester Street are sources of income. For example, operating Drumgold Street and Chester Street on behalf of the Department of Infrastructure costs the council £1.3 million a year. So council leader David Christian says it simply cannot afford to keep free parking.
So is this case closed then?
Well, the council did apply for a rebate of the operator's licence, as this would have allowed them to continue offering free parking until later this year. So they do appreciate that added cost to the shopper. But its request, however, was rejected by DOI. And so the department has been approached for comment.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
10 to 6, the departures, the 4:40 to London Heathrow from Ronald's Way went on time. The 10 to 5 didn't leave until about half an hour ago, actually. It left at about 22 minutes past 5. So inbound tonight, the 6:40 from Liverpool is going to be late, maybe after 7 o'clock, and the London Heathrow is due in at 8. On the roads, New Castle Town Road in Douglas, one way between the entrance to the NSC and Quarterbridge roundabout for a construction of a Puffin crossing. The Sulby Straits two-way traffic signals for resurfacing. There's also stone wall repairs in Glen Olden. Two-way traffic signals there, and two-way traffic lights for railway works, Camber Road in Groudle. And from Monday, Douglas Promenade is one-way. Lock Promenade, Harris Central and Queen's Prom, one-way northbound, plus associated waiting and turning restrictions. For all the information on Douglas Promenade, refurb and associated work, go to www.myprom.if. You can get there via manxradio.com, which has got all the details. And remember, till Monday, the All-Island speed limit is 40 miles an hour. It says so on the Matrix signs.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions, 670-145.
Hundreds of Douglas Council tenants have found themselves behind in their rent as a direct result of the coronavirus outbreak. According to Claire Wells, Councillor Claire Wells says the financial impact felt now will have a lasting effect as the year goes on. And she spoke to Aaron Ibanez.
I think the first thing they worry about, which rightly so, is how they're going to feed their children or themselves. And that's more important than the rent going out. So people would prioritise their income and what they spend it on. And that's not always to pay their rent. And I would say if people are not getting income at the moment because they, wherever they work is not paying them for whatever reason, then they won't be paying their rent.
I mean, you've got roughly around 2,300 in your housing stock. How many of those tenants mm-hmm. are affected?
Well, there's about 8 to 10% of tenants who are in arrears at the moment. But I think it's important to note that we have been in touch with all of those tenants and we've tried to make arrangements for them, given them the advice that we have been given by the government to get in touch with them, and they will help with the arrears if they need help paying their rent. And just keeping in touch with tenants to let them understand that we are there for them and we're happy to help where we can.
So you talk about sort of council support there. I mean, have you set up many payment plans as a result of COVID for some of your tenants?
A number of tenants have taken up that opportunity. And as time goes on, I expect, and people start going back to work and they're in a different position and they're able to pay, we'll probably be setting up some further payment plans so that people can catch up with their rent. You know, the effects of the situation we're in at the moment are going to be with us for a long time.
And obviously with that in mind, for those who are unable to pay rent, of course, the normal procedure in normal times is that if you know if you miss a certain number of payments, you'll be taken to court effectively. I mean, are you going to be issuing that same procedure or does that change now?
We have had this discussion in the past where we've said that the council has suspended our rent retrieval process. But in the current circumstances, we have suspended that particular rent retrieval process, and at the moment are not pursuing tenants for their outstanding rents or taking legal action against them. If we have done everything we can, so we've contacted the tenants, we've looked at the situation, we've tried to help them, that we will then have to start that process again. But when that will be, we haven't discussed it because we're not out of this crisis yet.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
6 minutes to six on this Thursday evening in the Isle of Man. Some big news in the Manx sporting world this week with the details, Rhiann Evans.
We've heard lots over the past weeks and months about Sporting Club Isle of Man. From today, you can now become a member. Commercial director Ty Smith told me it's about breaking the glass ceiling of sporting development on the island.
I think most of the people that are on the island here now that are really sort of trying to push to the peak of it, they recognise what that glass ceiling is, and they recognise that in order to break through that, there needs to be continued exposure to play at a higher level, which is just unfortunately, in more cases than not, that has to be off island. You know, we are a population of you know, 85,000 people, and what we can achieve over here, and we do achieve, is absolutely brilliant. I mean, you know, our representation across the number of sports that we have is absolutely amazing. But ultimately, we have a finite talent pool.
Mr. Smith went on to say it's about giving elite sportsmen and women the physical and mental edge, but also high-profile international exposure.
Exposure off island is really the only way to break through, and you know, we'd struggle to not keep falling into to refer into the football club, but it's very illustrative of the exact argument, which is we produce very, very technically talented footballers here, but they don't have the same continued exposure to a level of play off island that they need in order to acclimatise to that level of gameplay, but also to adapt to the mental side of the game. So what we're really trying to do with all of these sports, And football is illustrative of it, cycling will be doing the same thing, is to say, okay, well, actually, we'll bring our talented sports people to you. We will put them in the shop window right in front of you, and you will be able to see them. So a football player, for example, in Football Club Isle of Man, they will be playing, you know, 25, 26 games plus in England in the northwest region. So a scout can watch them 10, 15 times. You're not having to do the same thing at the moment, which is about trying to get a player a placement at a club, at which point, you know, you hope that they get played in the right position and you hope that, you know, they're able to perform on the day. But if you think about the practicalities of it, there's so much against them. I mean, the game is really, really stacked against them performing. So that's what we're trying to break through. Talent scouts out there can see that team perform over and over and over again.
So it's hoped Sporting Club Isle of Man will be a bridge to elite level sporting activity worldwide.
What is a jump at the moment turn into a step?
You can find out more on its new website, sportingclub.in.
Updates available as a podcast via Apple, Google, Smart Speaker or Spotify. All the details are at maxradio.com. And that's it for Update, compiled from the resources of Max Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Ed Oldham, producer Ewan Gorn. I'm Andy Wint. And Update's back Friday evening at 5:30. After the news at 6 o'clock, Greatest Hits with Chris Pearson featuring the Coronavirus Update. At 7 o'clock, at 9, a little light music. Classical music on the light side with Maurice Powell and George Ferguson with a late show at 10 tonight. And remember, one more day only on AM 1368 of Manx Radio's Mountain Memories. Classic race commentaries, period interviews and documentaries. Tomorrow would have been Senior Race Day.